So, as usual, pay respect to the Buddha, develop the spiritual faculty of Sadha Virya, then pay respect mindfully, then we will start the normal puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kabisu mijacara viramani padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to the Buddha and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Turn to the program sheet, page 3. We are starting this afternoon session, 1:30 to 3 o'clock. Puja, followed by briefing by Bradio on how to strengthen the 5 spiritual faculty, which is Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. Samadhi is the unwavering mind or the collected mind. Panya is wisdom, to overcome the 5 hindrances of mind. They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and doubt. So this one we have done, so we are going to skip. Because this one is repeated, but every day you do a different one. The next one is developing the understanding of the following essential Dhamma. I put there 4 right effort and 5 ways to overcome unwholesome thought. The 5 daily contemplation we have done. The 3 evil roots, we have touched on it, but we have not gone into detail. Greed, hatred, and delusion. Then the 5 aggregate of form and mind, very important, we have touched on it, but we have not gone into detail. Then the 12 link or dependent origination, we also touched on it, but we haven't gone into detail. Then the 4 noble truth, I have touched on it too, but we didn't go into detail. Then the four foundations of mindfulness and the seven factors of enlightenment and importance of devotional practice of puja. Every day, different topic. So devotional practice, I already explained. The Buddha introduced it because it will strengthen your faith, your spiritual faculty, your devotion. Then it will allow you to understand his teaching better. Because the essential Dhamma that he needs you to understand, they are chant during the evening chanting, morning chanting, and also within the reflection that he advises to do. So all this will help you understand the Dhamma too. Yeah. So apart from these two, the third aspect is very important. This devotional practice of puja can bring about limitless type of merits. The meritorious action that come from doing this is very, very powerful. When you do puja, you not only develop the faith, sadha, virya, sati, leading to samadhi and panya. You pay respect to the Buddha. Reverential salutation is a very important meritorious action. When you do that, means what? Like the Buddha said, under the salutation to the Sangha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, namely the four pairs of enlightened beings, they are worthy of respect, and the field of merits is limitless. That's why it's very powerful. Then when you renew your precept, it also brings about a meritorious action, keeping precept. Then when you take refuge, it creates affinity for you to connect the refuge that will bring about the Dhamma. Without refuge, there is no Dhamma. Then the other thing is, you also rejoice, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. There is also a meritorious action. Then when you go through the Dhamma and the contemplation and the reflection, all this will straighten your view. Then you like listening to the Dhamma. These are all meritorious actions. Then towards the closing puja, we share merit, transfer merits. These are all meritorious actions. So it has a lot of advantages. So that's why puja is very important. Then the other thing is, the Buddha, he not only asks you to constantly develop the cultivation by starting with the pre-puja and ending with the post-puja. He also wants you to understand the importance of this devotional practice so that you don't neglect, understand? A lot of people who don't understand the cultivation, especially some who are more intellectual, you know what they say? All these are not important, superstition. Why go and bow and all this thing? I just want to do vipassana. So they thought they just meditate and all. So when you have that type of view, there will be imbalance. Because the puja is the easiest way to learn his teaching, the easiest way to develop the spiritual faculty. So without the puja, it's very difficult for you to walk the path. So this is the other part. Okay, so now we come to the four right effort. This four right effort is actually part of the Noble Eightfold Path. What are the Noble Eightfold Path? I write on the board. Okay. This Noble Eightfold Path. Bring it further. This Noble Eightfold Path. You got eight path factors. First one is what? Right understanding or right view. Next one. Right thought. Then next one. No end. No end. No end. Right speech. Right action. Yeah. After that is right effort, isn't it? This is what we are talking about. Right effort. Then, right? Mindfulness. Sati. Oh, sorry. Yeah. There is a livelihood here. Yes. Oh, yeah. Before the effort. Okay. I make some space. This one is right action. Then right livelihood. Actually, right living. I will explain to you why. It's not livelihood alone, it's right living. Then after that is right samadhi. You know how to remember this or not? You know how to remember this or not? If you cannot remember, you try to use this to help you. This is S, isn't it? This is A. This is L, okay? This is E. This is M. So Salem. This is C. So C-U-T is cut. Okay? So when you have Salem cut, you will remember. Understand? So Salem cut. So right understanding is very important. This is right view. Right view with regards to the laws that governs life and existence. In this aspect, the Buddha are more interested in the spiritual law, like I explained the other night. The spiritual law, there are three very powerful ones. The Buddha call it karma niyama, law of karma. That's why that is the basis of the Buddha's teaching. Avoid all evil, good, purify the mind, keep the precept. Develop heedfulness to see your mental intention. If it's not because of this right view, no need to do all these things. So right view in regards to law of karma, one of the first one. The second one is citta niyama, law of the mind, how your mind function and work. That's why he teach the dependent origination. Then the third one is dhamma niyama. Dhamma niyama is all of the Dhamma that he teach, the truth. So the most important Dhamma is the Four Noble Truth. Understand? So Four Noble Truth, you have that as a right view, means what? You understand the secret of life. Understand? Because all of life, mundane and supramundane, the Buddha summarized them into this Four Noble Truth. Because these are Noble Truth that will make you Noble One, you remember? Enlightened One. So the Four Noble Truths explain to you clearly what life is all about. The first Noble Truth of suffering is, he said, in life, there is a lot of suffering. There is a law, there is a Noble Truth that talk about suffering, prevalence of suffering. Suffering is everywhere, is it? If you don't have the wisdom, it will come and haunt you, and you will be afflicted. So that aspect is the most important. So life reality is, you have to go through life. If you live long enough, the eight realities of life the Buddha described, you cannot escape. You have to go through birth, wish, sickness and death. You have to go through separation, like divorce, death of loved one, forced separation during earthquake disaster, nature's disaster and all those. Possibility of separation. Then sometimes it's forced separation due to poverty when you are young. Your parents forced to give you away or your brothers and sisters away. So separation is very real. Even the not married, they are not free. When relationship doesn't work out, your girlfriend or boyfriend decide to separate from you. So no need divorce. You also face separation problem. So when there is this separation from loved ones, there is a lot of sorrow, a lot of lamentation, a lot of suffering. a lot of fear and insecurity, depend on which time. So these three spiritual law, they will allow you to have the wisdom to live life. So the first Noble Truth already explained clearly to you, separation. Then after that, when you are with people you don't like, when you cannot get what you want, then the Buddha said, in short, if you deludedly grasp and cling and hold on to your fire created or form in mind, this human being, then suffering will be the result. That's why he called this upadana kandas, the grasping aggregate. For the enlightened one, the arahant, they are non-grasping. They are pure aggregate. That's why they can live. So feeling is pure feeling. It will not condition craving. Because it's non-grasping. Then perception is direct seeing. There is no word, no concept. They can live in the world. Because they can use word, they can use concept. But they know them for what they are. Understand? So their perception is non-grasping. So when they use thought, when they arise sankhara, activity of mind, or they have this mental state arising, they are not deluded. They know them for what they are. They are impermanent, they are empty, non-self. So they cannot be gullible, they cannot be caught by it. So they know how to use them. That's why they use right thought. They use the thought appropriately. So all this, even consciousness, whatever that they see through their sense or consciousness, they are not deluded. But these are non-grasping aggregate. Understand? So the Four Noble Truths is so beautiful. When you understand the First Noble Truth, like you understand a large extent of life, the reality of life and existence that can afflict the living being, that can cause them so much suffering and misery. And all this comes from Sakkaya Ditti, wrong view with regards to this form of mind, thinking is you, thinking is real. Then the second Noble Truth is the best. He said, all this suffering, there is a cause behind the arising. And the cause is always, he said, your craving, your grasping, your clinging, your holding on to them. Due to what? Due to your delusion and ignorance. If there is no Sakkaya Ditti, no ignorance, you won't hold, you won't grow, you won't be so deluded. That's why when you understand what suffering is, you know the cause behind, you already know how to solve your problem. You only need to understand why you're so stupid, allow this cause to afflict you. So a lot of people will say, but how not to have craving? How not to attach? He said, my wife, you know, my children, you know. That's why your life you decide. If you think they are real, then what you say is true. How not to attach? That's why you suffer. That's why you must meditate. Understand what is form and mind. If you yourself is not what you are, where got loved one? Where got wealth? Where got all these things? This only the fools lament, wherein son, wherein wealth, wherein property, and all this thing. They do exist under existential world condition. When there is condition for it to arise, they are yours. But condition cease to be no more. Like the Bodhisattva, when one of the children in one of the life pass away, they ask him, why don't you cry, even the wife also? So you know what his answer was. Whatever that is of the nature to arise is of the nature to pass and cease. What has arisen has already passed. No amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. That's why they don't cry. During funeral, death, people go and cry. Cry for what? It's because delusion. They think this is filial piety. They think this is what they call attachment. Oh, I miss my loved ones so much. How come they die so early? This is all your thought, creating suffering for you. The third Noble Truth is the best. After you know suffering and the cause behind, you can use your rational thinking to solve your problem. But it's not powerful enough. Because most of the time, without spiritual understanding, you cannot cope. That's why there are a lot of people who suffer. become so miserable, become so fearful, so insecure, until they become so depressed, depression. Then they enter what they call very severe mental suffering. So depression can be very serious, understand? It can make you really crazy. That's why they say God end up a lot of mental case, because the thought keep on haunting them. They keep on holding to it because they give so much meaning and emphasis and priority to it. Like the whole world is gone. There is no life. They cannot solve this problem. But it's actually the other way around. Life is not just holding on to this thought. So life got so much more thing, like what we experience with the silent mind. So there is so much beauty and meaning in life. So why do you subject yourself to all this delusion? Why do you hold on to the thought that tell you all these things? I cannot lose them. I cannot be separated from them. I cannot have health problem and all these things. Who is the one saying all these things? Your thought is not you. So when you understand, then you know this is foolishness, stupidity, ignorance, delusion. So if you know how to live, that's why the secret of life is there, that you know how to reverse all it. But through your rational thinking, using thought, you also can solve some of the problem if you have the intelligence. But problem with people is, you say, non-self, not you. He said, you cheese sinner, not me. I want to laugh, I laugh. I want to jump, I jump. I want to do whatever I want, I can. I want to kill myself, commit suicide, also can. You say, not me. What are you telling me? Logical or not? Very logical. But are you really what you are? That's why they never meditate. They cannot know. And they think this form of mind is what they are. It's actually the mind trapped inside with this form. It's like the car and the driver. The driver that drives the car is different from the car, isn't it? So if the driver is a good driver and this car is in good condition, then ability to control that car. You want to drive fast, it go fast. You want to brake, you want to turn, you can maneuver the car. So ability to control doesn't mean it's you, understand? The car is a car, the driver is a driver, correct not? But when it's inside your form and mind, why can't you see? Who is the driver inside here? Who is the driver? How you move? Your consciousness, your thought, isn't it? Your mind, the mundane mind that condition you, the mental intention to walk, isn't it? But like the car and the driver, if the car is in good condition, means this body is in good condition, and then it listens to you. So ability to control doesn't mean that the body is the consciousness, understand? Because the car is the car, the driver is the driver. Then similarly, the analogy is, when the car got no petrol or certain vital part fail, you ask the driver to drive, cannot move already. Even Formula One champion also cannot. So similarly, when the body has problem, like stroke, paralysis from the waist down, you ask the floor to walk, it doesn't listen to you anymore, correct? Then that time say, oh yeah, not me already. When it become paralyzed only, you know it's not you. But when it's alive, because this guy can be animated into such a real human being as a, he can laugh, he can cry, he can have emotion, he can do so many things. Normal human being will not believe that it's not real. Like I told you on the hilltop, everything you perceive outside is so real, so solid. But how do you come to know about them? Through your thought, through your mental consciousness. How real are that? That's why without mind, nothing exists. Without mind, he know this, he know that. So everything is mind-made. World of consciousness, understand? They come and they go, like a magician. You deludedly believe this magician and cling, grasp and hold and give meaning. Understand? Because it has its physical form, tangible. That's why you are deluded by it, understand? So the Dhamma is very simple. The Buddha said, when you understand, you're totally not deluded. Then the Buddha didn't stop there. He said, there is a third noble truth that talk about suffering can end. Means what the Buddha said? Suffering need not be easy. That's why the first noble truth, a lot of people got it wrong. The Buddhists also go and say, life is suffering. I tell you, that is the biggest misconception. The Buddha never said life is suffering. The Buddha said there is a noble truth that talk about suffering. That's how prevalence of suffering. But he never said life is suffering. If you don't have wisdom, then you suffer. So that's why he said third noble truth. There's a noble truth that talk about the cessation of suffering. End of suffering. When this happened, he said, enlightenment in the here and now is possible. When you are enlightened, no more suffering. That's why the enlightened one do not suffer, cannot become miserable, cannot be afflicted, cannot be affected. So this third noble truth give you a lot of hope, is there? A lot of joy. Oh, then I can live the whole of life meaningfully and beautifully if I can realize enlightenment. This is what the teaching is all about, to bring about enlightenment. And the Buddha is very fair. He doesn't stop there and tell you it can be done, but never tell you how to do it. That's all. That's why the fourth noble truth is what? The noble eightfold path, the Buddha said. There is a noble truth that talk about the path that leads to the cessation of all suffering. What is this path? Noble eightfold path. This is what it is. When you have this, you are free. Understand? So just have to train your mind to be heedful and cultivate this. So easy that. Then no more problem. How come you still hesitate? Still doesn't want to put in the diligence, the sincerity and the effort. Oh, start to rain. Every time the good Dhamma come out, it will start to rain. You see, this part is very important. So now you understand what the noble truth is. I mentioned to you, it's like the whole of life, the Buddha summarized into four noble truths. You tell me which part of life that you experience is not covered by this. The mundane and the supramundane. Understand? The supramundane is the third noble truth and the fourth noble truth. The mundane is the first two noble truths. You tell me, any part of your life, they are all related to this four noble truths. That's why I say he is so wise. The moment I saw the four noble truths, I said, that's it. Nobody can summarize like that. Even if I were to be enlightened that time, I said, I cannot summarize it so clearly and so simply. A lot of joy. So this is a very, very important understanding. And very few people can explain the four noble truths to you this way, I tell you. So right view is number one, understand? Then the next one is right thought. Now you know the form and mind of the Buddha said, not you. So it's a vehicle and a tool for you to use. So this thought is for you to use. Use it rightly, understand? Use it to arise the right thought so that it is for the good of the many, understand? Bring about love, harmony, goodness, gentleness, kindness, respect, contentment, and all that. These are all right thoughts. Not the angry, selfish, deluded, and fearful thought, the wrong thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, suffering, and misery. Correct or not? And now you know why. Hey, with right understanding, I will arise the right thought. Yes or not? Only heedless people, deluded people don't know this. Understand not? Then with the right thought, what happened? When your thought is right, your action and speech will be right. What is action, what is speech? There is mental intention in your thought behind your action and speech. Correct? Not? So when you have the right view, when your view is right, your thought will be right. And when your thought is right, it will condition right speech, right action, and the way you live your life will be right. Understand? Not? If you say right livelihood, it's only a small part of right living. Understand? Livelihood is your career. Understand? Not? But noble eightfold path, this path factor is living. Understand? The way you live your life. Understand? Not? That's why right living is not livelihood. Then when it comes to effort, it's most important. This one is what I want to teach you today. The Buddha said, at the thought level, you use effort. Understand not? When you cultivate meditation, you use mindfulness, sati. Understand not? This one is awareness. That's why people don't understand this too. And you know, because Krishnamurti come to understand this very powerful meditation, he used this word now. Wherever there is an effort, there is no meditation. And a lot of people don't understand. Hey, Buddha say right effort, no. This guy say effort, no meditation, no. So like wrong, conflict. You don't understand Krishnamurti. He speak from beyond thought. Understand? So thought-based, you use effort. That's why the four right effort are what? The Buddha said. Yeah? What are the four right effort? Yeah? The four right effort. Right effort to do what? The first one is what? Huh? What is the first two? Huh? First two is what? Huh? Right effort to? No. The first one is to abandon. Abandon the wrong thought. Action and speech that has a reason. Huh? That has a reason. Means like you get angry, understand? You got angry, then this anger arises already. But it hasn't become violent. It hasn't transgressed out and become violent. Sometimes you get angry, you have not violated it through the angry speech, understand? Or angry action to kill and harm, understand? So before it transgresses out into action or speech, what must you do? Right effort to abandon this wrong thought, understand? Or this evil thought, understand? Can see or not? Like fear, selfishness. You cannot have them because they are the evil roots of all evil. When they are inside you, you become evil, understand? So this right effort is to allow you to develop the ability to abandon them. How can you have right effort? You must at least be aware of your mental intention is there. Correct? Means the greed, the hatred, and the delusion. Means the anger, the selfishness, and the fear. Understand? So, most people are not aware. That's where their problem is. Understand? They cannot see the mental intention. What do they see? The manifestation of it. When they get angry already, become selfish already, lustful already, or fearful, then only they know. Then as a Buddhist, I feel again, I get angry again. Especially those who went for retreat and meditated. But they don't understand the teaching. I still can get angry. I still have fear. I cultivated so many years, 20, 30 years, some of them, 34 years ago. Because they don't know what is going on. They think what? They think anger is them. They think fear is them. Understand? The Buddha already says, Sankara, the mental state, anicchang, anatta. Not you. They never arise until you allow it to arise. Understand? Means they are conditioned arising. Understand? Before you get angry, you are peaceful. Correct? So how can anger be you? If anger is you, when the anger is gone, you die. You never die. Clear now? So this is very easy to understand. That's why when you meditate, when there is pain, you don't go attached to that pain. There is sakayatiti. You think pain is you. It is because of your wrong view, your delusion. You go and label it pain. Understand? It is just a sensation. Understand? Sensation, no pain, no pleasant, no unpleasant. But you deludedly label. When it becomes pain, means what? you don't like that sensation, correct? Not? When you don't like that sensation, means what? You have ill will. This is a hindrance of mind. So when you have a hindrance of mind, it hinders you from becoming peaceful. That's why when you label it pain, 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 you lucky cannot become peaceful. You're just aware that there is something going on. That sensation is there. Why must I react to it? I only need to silence my mind to understand why it arises and what it is. Before I get this sensation, I don't have. Understand? But after long sitting, how come it arises? Yeah? When you find out, you will be very surprised. You don't know how to relax. Understand? You don't know how to just let things be. Yeah? You want to fight that pain. You want to push it away. You have a ill will towards it. Understand? Means you react to what happened, the reality. So you don't find out already. You try to push it away like anger. You want to suppress the anger. You want to control the anger. So what you do? You go and focus. You go and concentrate. You develop energy field. Then this energy become more strong. You forget about the pain. Wow, you say breakthrough already. I got no more pain. I can sit like a statue. So what? Enough Buddha statue in the temple. The Zen will come and whack you. I say, we don't need another statue here. Meditation is for wisdom through awareness. Isn't it? Not silent concentration until no thought. Then, no wisdom. You cannot live life. That's why you go out, you can still get angry. So, meditation is not what people think. Because they don't have awareness, don't have mindfulness. That's why they cannot develop the higher cultivation. They have to go to the thought level. Use their effort to abandon the wrong thought. Means, arise already, abandon. The next one is, 5 ways to overcome wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong whatever you do that is not in accordance. So what are the 5 ways? How to abandon this wrong thought? What did the Buddha teach? First one is what? Think of the direct opposite right thought. Okay? So think of the direct opposite right thought. That's why all this involves the thought, thinking. Direct opposite right thought. What are the right thought? When you got anger, what is right thought? You think of metta, loving kindness. When you radiate metta, may all beings be well and happy. Can you be angry or not? When you have love, you cannot be angry. That's why the Buddha said, wrong thought, abandon it, then do metta. Understand? Condition yourself back into all the right thought. Understand? If there's a lot of cruelty, how do you reflect or contemplate the direct opposite? Compassion, isn't it? That if you got all this, what they call negative thought, like lust, what is the direct opposite right thought? Direct opposite right thought of lustfulness, what is it? I know this question, a lot of people do not answer. Because I never tell you before. I have spoken, but you all never remember. Because you can never get an answer unless you cultivate before. What is lustfulness? Not contented with your own wife. Correct? That's why you want to have something else. Contentment. Reflect on contentment. Then reflect on the next one. The next one is what? The second way is what? Think of the consequence. The danger of allowing that wrong thought to stay. Understand? Think of the lustful thought. Understand? The consequence of it. If you become lustful, then you go and commit adultery or do something, then your wife find out, or you get into trouble, take back all the funny disease, then the consequence of it is what? you don't want to lose your family, understand? You don't want to end up divorced with your wife, understand? You don't want to have a situation where your wife refused to sleep with you again, understand? So this is the danger. Means think of the consequence. Consequence or danger. Or holding on to this wrong thought. Wrong thoughts. These wrong thoughts are all the while the three evil roots. They are the root of all evil. If you have it inside you, last is greed, isn't it, Karina? You have it inside you, what happens? You become an evil person. That's why you must not hold on to your anger, your jealousy, your envy. You must not try to revenge. So all these are evil root, make you very ill. That's why the Buddha called it the root of all evil. You become evil because you have anger, you have selfishness, you have lust, you have greed, you have fear. So all this is very easy to understand. Now the third one is what? Third one is meditation, the Buddha teach. Now what is it? Just silence your mind. Means what? When you just let things be. Means you accept the reality of whatever it is, then you silence your mind. What happened? You will return to the original state before it stir, understand? Because what is thought? Thought is energy field, understand? How did you stir? Because you angry, you stir the mind, then the mind has anger, understand? And this energy field, if you don't get more thinking to go and make it more angry, what happens? That's why they always tell you, hey, calm down, understand? Calm down means what? Don't get any more anger. Means what? Or they say, okay, go and have a drink. Come back later. Or take a break. You're so emotional already. But as you take a break, you still think, that guy, how can he say all these things? I haven't dealt with. Then after a while, nobody challenge you. Nobody has the condition to stir you. Then you start to calm down. Then what happened? Then you become less angry, less angry. Then after that, suddenly, quiet and peaceful. But because you don't know how to silence your mind, you don't know how to let things be, that's why the anger has this, what they call, potential to get you into trouble. Because through the thought, it tells you, hey, you stupid, that fellow did this to you, you somehow let him do. He said, you know what he did or not? The thought keep on telling you, feeding you with the wrong information. And you stupid and gullibly keep on thinking that the thought is your friend. It has been with you for your whole life. You think it's a good friend, never cheat you, never lie to you. But you always use thought to solve your problem, correct? Then you trust your thought more than you trust your other people. That is how you get into trouble. Without wisdom, thought has power. Thought through words create division. Thought through all this wrong view cause you to become violent, angry, emotional, fearful. So this is what it's all about. Meditation means don't do anything. Silence the mind. Because the Buddha said anger is not you. Anger is a condition arising state. It's energy field. Fueled by your anger, your evil root, your thought. If you just silent your mind and let things be, this is meditation. Next time you go angry, I teach you, you try. 100% it will work. Not only it will, it gives you a lot of wisdom. The moment you get angry, don't think. Just silent. Feel the anger. Be with it, understand? And you see what happened to the anger. That's why Krishnamurti very wise. He said the very flowering of that thought, the angry thought, is the ending of it. Understand? What is flowering? Flowering means when it part until it fully bloom, you got no more energy to flower in there. Then what happened? You will wither off. Understand? That's why the very flowering of that thought, like a flower, is the ending of that thought. Understand? You allow this thought to flower. Don't give it any more wrong view, wrong energy view, evil root, wrong thought. So when you do that, you silence your mind through awareness. You're just silent and aware. Your natural state of calmness, stillness will come back. And then you realize, hey, I no need to control my anger. I no need to control my thought. I no need to do anything to fight it off. Understand? Or? I no need to go and do anything to focus or to control. Understand? And then your meditation totally different, isn't it? Take a new turn, isn't it? But what is being taught in the world is so different. Oh, you must not have anger, evil root. Understand? Oh, you must control your anger. How to control? Yan, suppress. Understand? When you yan, what happened? It will erupt. You don't use wisdom to understand why you get angry. That's why the fourth one is the best, the Buddha said. The fourth one allows you to develop the wisdom. The Buddha said, trace. The origination factor. How anger come to be. This is meditation. This is vipassana. Not the method. Not the technique. Through wisdom and understanding. You trace how you become angry. Then, origination factor. Then, retrospectively, reverse it. Okay, how you trace? Tell me how you trace. Let's say, somebody make you angry. How you trace? You can easily trace that. What make you angry there? Usually what make you angry? When somebody accuse you of something you don't do, isn't it? Correct? Or when somebody say bad thing about you, isn't it? Abuse you, understand? Or put word into your mouth, understand? Because you got an ego, understand? Sakayadity. Oh, it like they say, step on your tail. So what happened? You sure erupt and get angry. So the Buddha said it's very simple. It's through one of the sense door it come in. Without the sense door, you won't get angry on it. It's either you hear something you don't like, understand? Or people scold you or abuse you, or you see something you don't like that you perceive in negativity, or you think of something you don't like, that's why you get angry. So the origination factor is Dhammanupassana, he said. Mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases. That's why without mindfulness, how can you trace? So when you trace, you realize, because of external sense data, what I hear, what I see, or what I think, then this mind with the organ inside, upon contact, consciousness come to be. When consciousness arise, it's just the pure consciousness. Understand? That's why the Buddha said, in the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness. Understand? No one to see. But you deludedly grasp and cling and say what? I see. Understand? The mind has a sakayaditi. Cling and grasp to the seeing. Understand? When you say I see, means what? There is a personality. There is an ego. That's why when you see something you don't like, this one react and get angry. Especially hearing. But you can never see at the moment of seeing. Like the physics experiment, you remember? Battery, bulb, switch. The moment you make contact, what happens? Light bulb lights up, isn't it? What is that lighting up? You become conscious, isn't it? This is on nature's law, isn't it? Naturally arising, isn't it? Do you need a person inside there to light it up? No, the electricity is not you. The switch is not you. Of course, you need somebody to press it down. But your mind don't need somebody to press it down. No. It makes contact straight away. Then when it arrives, it's just like that light bulb light up. You become conscious. Understand? Means seeing consciousness come to be. But through your delusion, your sakayaditi, you associate with what you see. Then you gullibly and deludedly say, I see. That's how the trouble starts. When the I arise, the I can be angry with what you see. When he know me, he know you, it's just pure seeing. Who is there to get angry? Seeing things as they are is that pure consciousness. Understand? Before the words come out, understand? Before the concept come out, before the aggregate of mind come out. That's why the Buddha always say, in the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. In the hearing, is only the hearing consciousness, all naturally conditioned arising. But through delusion, you grasp, you cling, you hold, you give meaning, you get yourself entangled. Understand? Then when you know that through this hearing or seeing or thinking that you get into trouble, how do you reverse it? How do you reverse it? Huh? Very easy. Huh? You know how you get into trouble. Next time when people scold you, what you do? No, you cannot separate. Oh, I don't want to react. Understand? Like that, you never learn. No, walk away also, you never learn. You must have wisdom. What is the wisdom? He is what he is, isn't it? Accept him for what he is, isn't it? Because let things be. Means what? Angry person say angry thing. Deluded person say deluded thing. That's all. Then not only you don't get angry, you know, you have compassion. You know, you feel sorry for him. You know, because this is so evil, creating so much negative. And yet he doesn't know. You know, and he continues to hit out. You know. That's why the enlightened one don't want to be right. You can say what you like. You are what you are. They are at peace with you. Understand? But then you don't have to suppress. Don't have to walk away. Don't have to do all the funny things. Walking away and don't want to talk to him or what is control and suppression. You suppress your emotion. Actually, you want to get angry. But anger no good. Anger is an evil root. So you do all those funny things. You don't want to retrospectively reverse it to an understanding. That's why meditation is about understanding, isn't it? The world is the world, I always tell you. People is just the way they are. If you accept them for what they are, no right, no wrong. Understand? And then it becomes peaceful. Isn't it? Acceptance means what? I have wisdom. There are two things that work for you. When you accept them for what they are, means what? I don't react, I don't blame. Understand? Your problem come about because you react and you blame and you get into argument and you get angry. But if you accept them for what they are, means what? Like Socrates say. Huh? What did Socrates say? Huh? He got a wife who every time scold him. He say, otherwise the teacher, because he every time speak the truth and go to jail. Where he was way ahead. Socrates was so wise. He was ahead of civilization. They always put him in jail. They think he cuckoo. And the wife always call him. He always smile. He said, my wife, very good. Teach me how to be patient. He never get angry, you know what? So when you understand, you know how to deal, there is wisdom. Understand? The other thing about not reacting is when you can see things as they are or accept them for what they are, what happens? You don't react means you don't get angry. Right? You don't blame means you don't arise negativity and evil root. Right? So what happens? You are at peace. Karana. When you are at peace, there is clarity of mind. Right? And then you can see clearly. Right? And then you can tell yourself what are your options. Right? Karana. So when you accept things as they are, or accept them for what they are, you don't get angry anymore. Right? So you tell them, it's okay. Yeah. I think it's okay, you are right. I am really stupid. What you say is true. This is what politicians have been doing. Every day or so, both sides. Hammer here, hammer there. But ultimately, what is the reality? The law of karma, understand? The nature's law take over there. So when you have goodness, have kindness, you have noble eightfold path, incapable of negativity, you have right view, you cannot go wrong, isn't it? Correct or not? You reap what you sow, isn't it? So when you have that wisdom, you can retrospectively reverse it. No more problem. Whatever happens, people are just the way they are. The world is the world. I accept them for what they are. So like what I tell you, peace is within, correct or not?
If I have wisdom, nobody can make me angry. Nobody can make me miserable. I cannot stop outside, you know. Understand? I cannot control outside, you know. They are beyond me, you know. Understand? And this is what wisdom is all about. Understand? So when you have that, you have this understanding. You respect people for what they are. Like Li Hun, yeah? The son don't understand. He cannot respect her for what she is. That's why he get very angry with her. Understand? Then luckily she got Dhamma. Otherwise she reply back with all the supportive argument. And then make the son like angry. Understand? Then he will write back and challenge. Then where does it end? Both also want to be right. It cannot be. How can both be right? The best is no right, no wrong. You are what you are. I respect you for what you are. You respect me for what you are. I am. Visata. Kena. That is very easy. So this is the most important. And the last one, you know what? What is the last one? Wait. Before that. You know what is the last one? The Buddha say, after he has taught you this four spiritual way, you still cannot. He said, you do it yourself. Nobody can help you. He said, through your own will. Very strong will, intention. Means you must be very serious. He said, with your tongue against your palate, you abandon the wrong thought. Otherwise, nobody can help you. The Buddha give you advice also you don't want to do. Who else can help you? So this one, go and do it yourself with your self-determination. Means tongue against the palate. Can you understand? So now clear now. Can follow now? You got any question you better ask. Where this one, not easy to understand. And do you realize I don't have to remember anything? Because I use it before. And I understand what this thing is. So meditation is like that. Knowing the teaching and knowing how to use. That's why I want you to meditate with understanding. You don't have understanding, you do like what those people do. You gullibly think that anger, pain is you. Numbness is you. Then try to suppress, control, fight. Using what? Thought. When you use thought, no awareness, how can you understand? The third one is just aware. No thought. Understand? Silence your mind. Aware. This one better put a word here. Silence your mind and aware. No thinking. The moment you think, energy go in. Understand? Then you try to justify. Why this flow like that? How come he so negative, so unreasonable? So all this is going to create more emotion in you. Okay, after we have finished that, we go back to the four right effort. The second right effort is what? Good. To prevent. So the key word is prevent. The wrong thought. From arising. How do you do that? How do you do that? You must understand it clearly, you know. I have said this many times, but you all only know how to repeat all this. Like all the Dhamma that people say, abandon, prevent, and all this. But they don't know how to do one, understand? That's why I teach you how to do, how to abandon this five way that the Buddha teach, you know, not from me, you know, understand? And this is the real teaching. And you have heard of anybody telling you or not? Seldom, understand? But this one is the best. How to prevent? That's why you don't have mindfulness. You cannot understand this one. Means this angry thought, this wrong thought, this fear hasn't arisen. No. You can prevent it from arising. No. How to do? You have to be heedful. That's why you must train your mind to be silent, aware, and mindful and heedful. Means what? When you see, just like just now,
When you trace the origination factor, then you understand. The moment I see, last time, it made me angry, understand or not? So what must I do? Next time I see, I don't react anymore, understand or not? Then I reflect and contemplate. How best can I overcome this? How can I reverse all this so that my anger will not arise? And this is wisdom, understand or not? How can you do it? That's why you must have wisdom. Then you start to reflect and contemplate, what did the Buddha say? Right thought, right speech, right action. So I must apply all this, understand or not? But the first one, you never think, understand or not? What is right view? Right view is seeing as they are, understand? Ah, that is the answer straight away. Understand or not? No need to do any other thing. Right view is seeing as they are. Means what? Accept him for what he is. Understand or not? And then your answer is there. But if you don't know what is right view, that's why you cannot solve your problem. Then you say, Buddha said right thought, huh? No wrong thought. Huh? You try not to get angry. Understand or not? So you suppress, you control, and you do all those funny things. Understand or not? Then right speech, you try to talk to the floor nicely. Okay lah, never mind lah. We don't argue lah. You think this one will solve the problem? Understand or not? Then right action means, I must act nicely, you know. Maybe I say sorry, apologize. At least this one may work, understand? But the main issue here is wisdom, understand? The right understanding on how to prevent it from arising, understand? If you don't know how to develop the wisdom, you cannot do this, understand? How can you prevent your anger from arising? Even after you talk to him nicely and try to like tone him down, I say, okay lah, sorry, apologize. But you come back, you still get angry. You still say, that fellow, actually I give him chance only. He still think he very great. The anger is still there, understand? You think you have already done it, understand? But this is preventing the wrong thought from arising. Means no more arising, means no more delusion. After that, you have compassion. Pity him, understand? Like Jesus said, they know not what they are doing. That's why when he was crucified, he said, never mind. These people don't know what they do. They know not what they are doing. So he forgave them. Now this is wisdom. How can you forgive somebody who crucified you and killed you? So people with wisdom, they know how to live. They will not get angry at what happened. This two is for wrong thought. Okay? The other two right effort is what? The right thought means to cultivate the right thought that is still not in you. Understand? Then the last one is what? The last one is what? Last right effort. No. The fourth right effort is what? To refine upon whatever goodness that you have. Understand? But what did that text tell you? Maintain. You ask yourself simple logic. You think the Buddha, his wisdom is only that level to maintain. Means like the Chinese, three generation of wealth cannot go beyond. Means what? Because first generation work very hard. Then second generation take over. Understand? Then they can still continue because this second generation also go through some tough time. Then the third generation, he said, no need to worry. My wealth more than enough for you. So no need to learn anything. You just sit down, just do what you like and spend. Cannot finish. Means what? They only have to maintain the wealth. They don't know how to earn new wealth. That's why third generation, gone. So you maintain means what? You don't want to improve upon yourself, correct or not? You don't want to refine upon the thing. Then
Why did the Buddha did the 10 perfection to become a Samasa Buddha? Means he perfected them, no? He don't go and maintain like such a truthfulness. He has it as a perfection. He don't say, I just maintain it. No, he cultivate until it become a perfection. That's why you have to refine upon whatever, wholesomeness or right thought that you already have. Understand now? Or right thought that you already have.
So, we finish. So, at least today I cover these two important topics. You got any question? Get the mic. Wait, get the mic. No, for the recording, get the mic.
Brother Teo?
Yes.
So, thoughts are conditioned and also is habitual.
Okay.
So, but our Chinese have been doing something quite good. You see, cultivate the good habits. So, is it something good to cultivate a right thoughts?
You say thought is condition, correct? Conditioned by what? You must understand what conditioning is. Understand? Conditioned by your views and your opinion. Understand? What is view? What is opinion? Because you have some form of concept and idea of what this thing is. Understand? That's why you develop your own view and opinion of things. Understand? And is this the truth? These are not truth, is it? Your views and your opinion, is it? Means truth according to you, is it? That's how you do good. Good according to who, you never ask. I do good or I never do any evil. I good according to you. What is good to you is not good to others, understand? What good to you is selfish good, understand? So similarly, views and opinion is, if it suit you, then you say, right, this is good, this is right. If it against your view, against your opinion, wrong. And you know that this is not the truth, and you allow it to condition you. That's why he said, thought is condition arising. By what? By your views and your opinion. But you have wisdom, means what? Wisdom will not have delusion in it. So wisdom will allow the right thought to arise automatically. Correct? No? That's why you meditate for what? You meditate for what? To arise the wisdom to become enlightened, isn't it? You don't meditate to go for special meditation, see light, got funny psychic and all those things. Then good meditation, peace, calm, that is the byproduct. If you think that is meditation, then it's not what the Buddha teach. The Buddha teach you wisdom, that's it. Insight into the characteristic of nature. So when you come to conditioning and all those things, like what Brother Kang asked, you ask yourself, you know that thought is condition arising. Understand? So what must you do? That's why you must meditate to develop the wisdom. Then you will know how to arise the appropriate right thought. Because whatever you say, like you say, subsequently the Chinese saying, cultivate the goodness, the wholesomeness. You can use all these words. But what is your basis of goodness, wholesomeness? Based on what? Good according to who? According to you again, isn't it? So how can that thought be good? It's a conditioned thought again. So you must have wisdom. The moment you have wisdom, no need to talk much. So all this is thought-based, understand? That's why the four right effort is thought-based, understand? You deal with thought, understand?
But when you really purify your mind, you don't use thought, understand? That's why the Buddha talked about mindfulness, sati, understand? He never say use your thought anymore, you realize? That's why no contradiction, understand? At the thought level, you use effort. Where the Buddha teach rank and file. You know what is rank and file? From the bottom to the end, understand? Krishnamurti teach at the end. He straight away go beyond thought on. Everything he talk is beyond thought on. That's why you cannot understand him unless you have developed the wisdom. Understand? So the word he used is very precise, but he talked from the point of beyond thought. But to him, meditation is beyond thought. Understand? So why you want to talk about thought? That's why to him, wherever there is an effort, there is no meditation. Understand? And the worst one is, you know what he said? Whenever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. You understand? But the meditator is the thought. So how can the thought meditate to go beyond thought? Understand? That's why he is very precise. But you all sure crazy fellow. If I don't meditate, how can I become enlightened? Hey, tell me no meditator. Because meditator, no meditation. What is he talking? You use mundane mind, you use logic. That's why you cannot understand it. But he comes from that level of wisdom that has gone beyond thought. That's why he tells you precisely what meditation is. Understand? That's why different level, you see things differently, you understand differently. There is no contradiction. Understand? Everything is just the way it is. Beautiful. Unfolding. Accordingly, even Eckhart teach differently, power of now. Do you know what he introduced or not? Eckhart Tolle. Huh? What did he introduce? Power of now. He always talk about what? Present moment is one thing. There's one word he always use. Pain body. You heard of pain body. He always say pain body. He say your pain body can be dormant, can be active and all that. And all these people read and read and read, doesn't know what he talk about. Pain body. Pain body means the body that give you pain. Correct or not? Actually, pain body is nothing. It's just your emotional negativity. Understand? That's why your emotional negativity, the Buddha also give it a term, anusaya. Understand? Latent tendency. Means, it's latent in you. But when it's dormant, means, it doesn't come out. It doesn't erupt. Dormant means what? No condition for it to arise. Understand? That's why his pain body also same. When he say, when it's dormant, it's not trigger. Understand? But when somebody create a condition and make you angry, like step on your tail, and then the pain body trigger. Understand? Then it become active. Understand? Like a volcano. Understand? Then it erupt. So it's basically the same. Pain body is just emotional negativity. But you cannot go and argue with him and say, hey, Buddha never teach like that. No. Buddha says suffering. No. And then you argue all words. Understand? This is not understanding teaching. You understand teaching means the word, the method, the technique is not important. Understand? The truth is the one. Understand? He can use different words. But when you listen from an understanding that you already have, then you know what he say is the same. Understand? That's why I can understand Eckhart, I can understand Krishnamurti, Bhayankati, and all those who are really enlightened. Even Jesus, some of his very good teaching. Understand? To the enlightened one, they listen to truth, they know what truth is. But to the non-enlightened one, it's like very contradictory. Very different, understand? How can the two be the same, understand? So now you start to open up your mind, understand? You start to develop more wisdom. Not like before, caught in a, you know what, cocoon. Or the Malay proverb, kata di bawah tempura. You always familiar with the conventional reality last time, or the traditional one. Outside that tempurung, you don't know already. Understand? Outside Buddhism,
you don't know. Right? Even within Buddhism, only that type, the traditional one, you know. The one that have the latest understanding or the new understanding, you cannot understand. You say wrong. Pure Land Come also you say wrong. So, it depends on your understanding and your wisdom. At what level of wisdom do you have? That's why I like the mountain analogy. Conventional wisdom, then the one with the real wisdom enlightened, then the one, the last one is what? What is the last one? The last one have complete mastery, understand? Mastery of both, understand? Means mundane and supramundane. The one with the mastery, he agree with you. Kan san yu su san. The first one say, see mountain is mountain. Kan san su san. Then the second fellow, after he become enlightened already, Kan san pu su san. Because he don't perceive with the words, understand? With the concept. That's why to him, mountain is just the way it is, no word. Kan san pu su san. But the one who has complete mastery, after he have understood both the mundane and the supramundane, then he said, Kan san, yu su san. It's mountain again. Because I have to live life, understand? I have to see things as they are, understand? But with both conventional reality and the ultimate reality, understand? And then, to him, the one with mastery, the conventional unenlightened one come, mountain, mountain, understand? Then the other one, enlightened one, say, no, mountain. It's not mountain. Nothing. Yes, you are right. You are wise. Means what? He can accept both for what they are. Understand? So he, to him, no right, no wrong. He can live. Understand? Then he can be beautiful. And he make both happy. Understand? Otherwise, you make both angry. Understand? Hey, you're wrong, you're wrong. When you say somebody wrong, you think he happy or not? So you don't try to put your understanding and run down on people and accept them for what they are. Then Dhamma become beautiful. Okay, we are almost time up. 3 o'clock. Okay, you got any more question or not? Because after that you have 1.5 hours of meditation and reflection. So this time, with this understanding, you try to make use of the time you have to silence your mind, to develop the daily mindfulness, the Dhamma contemplation, the sitting, the walking, and try to have the silent mind more and more, more and more. Then pay respect, develop the faith in the Buddha and his teaching, the spiritual faculty. Once you develop your cultivation of the spiritual faculty, your sati becomes stable, your mind becomes more and more silent, you will become more and more heedful, then all the Dhamma will come in. Understand? Without spiritual faculty, without heedfulness, you are dead. Understand? So just do. Then the wisdom will come. Things will arise. Just settle down. You have to settle down into the silent mode. The heedful mode. Then after tomorrow, I think you will see the big difference. Then hopefully on the last day, a lot of you will really appreciate what you have learned. You are this one, you go pay money also you cannot learn. Not many can teach you or share with you. A lot, there are some who have the understanding, but they cannot put it in words. They cannot share it with you. They cannot explain it to you so easily, so clearly. For me, I was lucky. My past, I have this special gift, special ability to share whatever I understand very clearly. This is my specialty, I realize. That's why I can explain a lot of things to people. And a lot of people who suffer, the best are the people who suffer tremendously. Come, talk, 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 talk. Then they realize everything I say, they have gone through before. Then they realize, oh, you, I didn't know God such a teaching. You know what happened? Last night I had one cancer patient who was very traumatic and full of fear, almost wanted to commit suicide. When one of the Dhamma friends brought me to see her, first time, He doesn't know who am I. After I explain, you know what she said? He asked that Dhamma friend, who is your brother Teo? Is he a consultant? Does he consult people, help people with this type of problem? Then my Dhamma friend said, no, he's a civil engineer. Retired. Then he looked at me. He said, wait, I call my husband, come down and listen. Because she was at the hospital, you know what happened? She got so much fear, she freaked, she cried, until the doctor pity her and tell the husband, you better bring her back for the weekend. Because she was full of fear. And she told the husband what happened. The husband said, you hallucinate. Really? The husband really tell her. Because the husband don't understand. He said, in the hospital, you know what happened? She can see the non-human now. Everywhere, he said. One or two in front of him, one in the ceiling, one at the back. And there are so many floating around. And you know what they tell him? You are going to die in 2 days' time. Your children is going to what and what and what. Wow, he's full of fear and he should have. That's why the nurse, he freaked and he shouted. But the nurse doesn't know what happened. They thought she's crazy already. Then she tell my this friend, this Dhamma friend who came and learned meditation from me. Then he called me because they were very close classmates. He said, Brother Teo, can you help? Very serious case, he said. Some of 40 years old only, very up and coming career wise. Work in a public listed company, very high position, with 2 daughters. And I told her, I said, if she wants to see me, can. If she doesn't want, don't force. And because they were good friends, he trusted her. And he said, okay, come. So I went with her, Puchong and I. There were 2 or 3 dogs in the house. You know, this dog, before we arrived, were howling. You know why howling? Huh? They see something in there. These were non-human were hanging around. And she was full of fear because she kept on seeing these people. Then I went into the house. The moment I went in, the dog stopped barking. Then after that went in. He has a maid. She has a maid. So she asked the maid to go and make a drink. A cup of plain water. Then I told my friend, ask her to make the offering. Ask her to offer to me. Because if the maid sends, she misses the offering. I said, ask her to bring it to me. And then she bring it to me. Then we sat down. Then she was so full of fear, they not talk. She doesn't want me to know what happened. Then my friend started. He said, this is Brother Teo, my teacher. This is my good friend, so and so. Then I said, okay, sit down. I said, I heard from your friend that you are having some slight minor problem. I said, I am here to help if I can help. I said, but you must trust me. I said, you just tell me what happened. At first she don't want to. Then after a while, I think she calmed down. Then she started to tell me. He said, I got this breast cancer. I have done the operation. Now I got to go through chemo. So I was at the hospital. I said, what happened? Because I heard from the friend, he freaked in the hospital. Then the doctor sent him back. And that was the weekend she's supposed to be available. And that Saturday, I happened to be free. And she took me there. And you know what happened? I asked her, I said, I heard in the hospital, you freaking... Yeah. Then she started to tell me. He said, I saw this. Then she was very surprised. He said, you don't think I hallucinate? I said, no, this is normal. I said, I have met many people who tell me the same thing, and I know why, and I know what is happening. I said, you are not hallucinating. I said, wow, that's why he was so happy. She was so happy. Then he said, He asked a friend, my Dhamma friend, what your friend do? He consulted. Then he said, no. Then after that, I explained. I said, I meditate. I'm a Buddhist. I understand all these things. Then I say, are you a Buddhist? He said, no. But the mother is a traditional Buddhist, understand? Oh, then, okay, I say, at least you once a year Buddhist. Oh, yeah, Visakhdi, I go. So, I say, I can help you because I know what is going on. Your fear is very real. I say, you know, hallucinate. Oh, she's so happy, you know. He said, wait, I want my husband to listen. He called her husband now. Then, after that, he take out a piece of paper and the notebook, write down word by word, you know. I told her, I said, what you see is non-human, I said. You know why you see it? Because you have such sickness, disease. And because of your sickness, disease, and your karma, you have a lot of fear. Your vibration becomes so low. But I dare not tell her. Actually, she's supposed to really die on, because the non-human see already 3 days' time. She was so lucky, you know. I said, do you know your vibration has reached the same vibration as this non-human? That's why you can see them. Actually, you are going to their realm, but I dare not tell her, otherwise she will freak out. I said, it's okay. I said, I think I can help you. I know what is happening. I said, do you know all this fear is very negative energy? It makes you weak. Your immune system go down, everything go down. I said, he said, yeah. He said, that is what is happening. Then he said, what must I do? Oh, I said, the Buddha teach a lot of things. I said, you can first reverse all this by having faith in yourself, the Buddha and his teaching. Then radiate loving kindness to yourself, metta, wishing yourself well-being and happiness. The positive energy will bring about the ability to heal you, I say, because your immune system went down because of fear, worry, anxiety, and your anger, emotion, and all those things. You blame everybody for what happened. Your fear of losing your job, losing your 2 daughters, then the treatment cost is so high, so much suffering. Say, all this is what your thought project, I say, these are wrong thoughts. Thought that condition, your fear, worry, anxiety. I say, for the time being, try not to think that direction. Try to think of positive way to help you recover. So I talk about metta. He said, wait, go and get exercise book and paper. Then she write word by word. No, every word I recite, she write down. Every word I recite, she write down. Then after that, you know what happened? She start to tell me. He said, you are the first person that I have met since my cancer, the last about 1 month or what, to tell me what I can do. He said, in the hospital, you know what happened? So many of his friends, Christian, Buddhist, or all sorts of friends come. Everyone also asked her, come to my church, believe in God, he will save you. The Buddhist say, chant this, chant that, and I said, tapecho. He said, make me so confused. I already confused enough. Keep on telling me to do all this thing. And never explain to me why I must do it. It's just like, believe in my God, you will be saved. Then he said, why Christian also die? I said, that's why she got no faith, no confidence. She doesn't know what is happening. No, she's a logical woman, very smart, very intellect. But nobody explained to her. He said, you are the first person. And you know what happened? He thanked me a lot that night. He said, immediately after I explained and she tried to recite, she felt so peaceful and calm again for the first time in her life. Then that night was the first night after so many days or months, she got a good sleep. You know what happened the next morning? She called up the classmate, the friends, full of joy. She said, tell your friend, brother, thank you so much. Just like that. But I talked to her 3 hours. Don't think it's... I reached there 9 o'clock. I went back 12 o'clock. Until the dog also did a bark. After that, no more. You see the power of Dhamma. I never say anything. I just share the Dhamma. But But when they are in that state of mind, they understand what I say, understand? Because they've gone through so much suffering, you know. Even here, there are many who came to me before. I think more than half. Also solve their problem. And it's not difficult, understand? Sui An No, I solve a lot for them over Subang Sai too. And I'm not a psychiatrist, no. I'm not a doctor. I'm just a lay person like you. But I have the Dhamma. I have the understanding. And I only understand truth, the Dhamma. That's why I say the Buddha is very wise. He is fantastic. Only living beings don't understand why he is so special. Understand? 3 o'clock, we stop. So no more story, meditation. Okay? So this will give you faith, understand? So that it will drive you to cultivate. You are such a serious case, after 3 hours can turn around, understand? Then after that she meditates, she survived almost 1 year plus, no, after that. But finally she succumbed because later on she became complacent. But she developed the meditation, she really understood the Dhamma. She told me finally what no, before she died, about 1 year later. She wrote me an email. Brother, thank you so much. Now I understand the Dhamma. I'm not scared of dying. The only thing I'm concerned is my husband. I don't know how she will take it. But the husband loves her a lot. And the 2 daughters, very attached to her. He said, but you don't worry. Like Brother Teo said, let things be. Not so real. You see, the wisdom is fantastic, you know. And she is so new, but her faith in me was so strong. You know? After that, anything she will write to me. She will contact me. Then even when she go and see the specialist, the oncology or what, she will discuss with me. And finally, the world is so small. You know how I came to know who he is, who she is. She is my Alostar classmate sister. At first she said, same hometown. Then I didn't know. The surname same, but I never strike me that the brother was my classmate. Until later, at the funeral, I met the brother, then only I know. And the brother told me, he said, thank you so much. My sister told me, you help her a lot. That's why, small world, things are just very, very strange because of affinity. Okay, we pay respect, then you start your meditation. We do the Thai tradition. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Avivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami.